We're going to begin today with the accommodation crisis facing Ukrainian refugees as the 90-day limit on their stay in state-provided accommodation comes into effect. The limit was announced in March and it took effect on Thursday, just gone. Now, we've had sight of a letter sent to the first Ukrainian refugees in state accommodation who were approaching the 90-day mark, a letter sent by the Department of Integration. This is one section of the letter. It states, if you are still in a centre at your 90th day, you and your belongings will be transported away from the centre to a clinic where you'll have a space to make your own onward arrangements. It will not be accommodation. You cannot stay there. That's a quote from that letter. Now, figures from the Department of Integration indicate that upwards of 20 Ukrainians have continued to arrive here on a weekly basis. I've been speaking to Natalia Krasnikova. She's a Ukrainian woman living in County Kerry. She actually ran in the local elections last weekend, and she began by telling me how those elections went for her in the local electoral area of Killarney.
I can compare it with a roller coaster. Sometimes fast, sometimes scary, sometimes funny, but it was a great experience.
And how did the voting go? There's, I think, what is it, 3,500 Ukrainians living in Killarney. Did they come out for you?
I have not so much vote. I collect 157 probably votes, and it's really low. Of course, I expect more, but I'm not so much surprised because analyzing the reason why Ukrainians did not take this advantage of the chance to have their representative person in Kerry County Council, I think it's Ukrainians have a lot of barriers. Despite of informational campaign of different organizations, Ukrainians still don't understand how to vote, how to register, because we have absolutely different system. And second, during the election campaign, Ukrainian refugees received two really important messages from the government. First, it's about reduction of social benefits from 230 to 38 euros per week. And second, it's about reduction of housing program. In particular, in Killarney, 80 people were moved from accommodation on June 7, the day of election. And when I talked to these people, they usually answered me, we are thinking about eviction, not about election.
Can I ask you about that? Because this 90-day accommodation rule that applies to any Ukrainian refugee who arrived in Ireland since March 14th and who is living a state accommodation, their accommodation offer is then withdrawn. What are the options for those people when they hit the 90 days? Because they've received notice now that they're expected to leave the place in which they're staying.
Yeah, yesterday, actually, the first people who arrived on March 14 had to leave the housing provided by stats, that's temporary accommodation. And I have no information how many people and where they now and how many people should move and where they moved, actually. It's not enough, 90 days, not enough to find accommodation. Let me explain. I have been in Ireland more than 2 years, and I have full-time job. I have a lot of recommendation references. I have a full-time contract. I have social connection. And I spent 6 months to find apartment for rent. I spent 6 months. And just imagine when people arrived in new country, it's impossible to find accommodation after 8 days of new country without language, without job, or without social connection. And I don't know, probably this decision could push people on the street or back on the war zone in Ukraine, because situation in Ukraine now, it's worse and worse every day.
And we've seen a notice that's been posted in the centres where people are staying, telling them that they, at the end of the 90 days, they will be brought to a clinic where they will get some help. We don't know what kind, but that they can't stay in this clinic. So do we know what those kind of places are, what kind of help that they'll get, or where these people will go?
Colm, I really would like to propose you address this question not to me, because I'm just community worker and ex-candidate. It's a good question for government who organizes politics with about Ukrainians and about refugees from Ukraine. I don't know. I have no answer for this question.
Could you give me an insight into how Ukrainian people are feeling about this? Since they first got notification that their accommodation offer would end in 90 days, as it got closer to that, maybe, and as they searched for accommodation, how have they been feeling?
People start looking for accommodation through IRP program. IRP program, it's accommodation recognition payment when government give 800 euros family or landlord, someone who propose accommodation for Ukrainian. And now many, many families, I work as a community worker and I receive every day a lot of calls from people asking help them to find accommodation through IRP program.
And what kind of people are you dealing with? Because obviously a lot of Ukrainian working age men were not allowed to leave the country at the start of the war, indeed still aren't allowed to leave. So it's mostly women and children. So what situations are people in?
The general problem that people, they can't plan their future. And especially it's a stress for people who couldn't work, like young mom and people with disabilities and pensioners and the most vulnerable groups, because if they will move somewhere or if they cut off social payment, I don't know, they probably should return in Ukraine again back. But 18% of territory in Ukraine now occupied it, and many buildings are destroyed, and it's really dangerous situation. I don't know.
Just looking at the welfare rate, so those who've arrived since March and they were in state accommodation will get a payment of 38 euros a week. And as of August, the baseline, that'll be the baseline payment for all refugees living in state provided accommodation. What are you hearing from members of the community about that, about the reduction in payments and how it'll affect them?
The decision to reduce social welfare demonstrate the remoteness of government long-term strategy for Ukrainians. And first, this reduction of payment will primarily affect for vulnerable group, like I mentioned, people with disabilities, mother with small children, pensioners, and also seasonal workers. Because, for example, in Killarney, in Dingle, in touristic area, people work in summertime, but they have no work in wintertime. And all these people who live in a hotel, they have to pay 70 euro per week for food. If they will receive 38 euros, they couldn't pay even for food. And I don't know how these people could survive. And they usually really upset. And they told me that they have no see the future and they have to move in Ukraine back.
And do they feel less welcome in Ireland now as a result of the moves that have been made?
I think people really, Ukrainian people really grateful, actually. And they are really grateful for all support, all help that Irish government and Irish people gave them all these 2 years. But they are not disappointed. They are frustrated. I think they are frustrated and they are scared about this decision. And some people mention in conversation with me, they mentioned that when we arrived, the politics told that we can help you as long as you need. I remember, for example, we organized on K-Fest in Killorglin 2 years ago, Ukrainian Days, and Senator Mark Daly, he visited us and he told that Ireland will help you as long as you need. But now it looks like before election, probably, Ireland decide change politics about Ukrainians. And it's not long-term strategy. It looks like spontaneous decision, you know. And we are here not because it's our decision. We are here in Ireland because of war.
And that was Natalia Krasnikova, a Ukrainian woman living in County Kerry, speaking to me there a little earlier. Let me introduce you to the political panel joining us today. There are James Brown, Minister of State at the Department of Justice, and Fianna Fáil, Minister of TD for Wexford. Paul Murphy, People Before Profit TD for Dublin South West. And Mairead Farrell, Sinn Féin TD for Galway West South Mayo, and her party spokesperson on higher education. She's in our Galway studio. Welcome to you all this afternoon.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Thank you. Minister James Brown, can I start with you and this letter that people would have received or a notice posted on their accommodation from the Department of Integration, Ukrainians, that is. Let's just go through just a few points on it and maybe you could clarify. State accommodation is for 90 days only. It says you will be required to vacate the centre by then. And go where?
Well, look, the policy changed in March, and since then about 2,200 Ukrainians have come into Ireland that come under that 90-day rule, and that's providing people with emergency accommodation, and then they're provided with supports to try and help them find private accommodation. This country has been exceptionally generous to the Ukrainian people, especially in the face of what is an aggressive war carried out by Russia in Ukraine. But what we're trying to do now is move the situation on to a more sustainable situation. The war is now becoming very long-term by the looks of it. There's no sign of any resolution coming to it. A lot of Ukrainians here are here now about 2 years. They've become very integrated. Ireland has been, I think, a leader in Europe at being able to integrate children into our schools. That hasn't happened in a lot of other countries.
Sure, so if they're moved out of their accommodation and they don't know where they're moving to, the children and the schools they're in, they'll now have to up sticks and move to somewhere else, won't they?
Well, there's always a challenge in that type of situation, but you cannot be in a situation where you're going to provide, if you like, open-ended emergency accommodation. We've seen a lot of situations now more recently where Ukrainians are coming into Ireland. There are a lot of evidence that they are secondary movements. They're not coming from Ukraine, but have spent time in another EU country. And that is, I think, leading to a lot of frustration as well. But look, we have shown enormous support for Ukrainians.
Sorry, frustration amongst whom?
I think within the Irish state, I mean, if you're fleeing a war, that's one thing. But if you've already been accommodated in another EU state, there's no real reason to be moving to another EU state to seek different type of supports.
Are you frustrated by that?
I'm proud of the support that this state, the government and the people of Ireland have shown to the Ukrainian people. So we have, and I think we have, and we will continue to show that support. But I think
where are you picking up the frustration with Ukrainians who have maybe been in another European state?
No, I think that's on a broader sense of where you have seen secondary movements. I think there's no real justification for secondary movements once people are given protection within the EU.
Okay, I wanted to go through this letter because there are a number of points here. It says there will be no access to homeless services. Why not?
Well, because not normally resident in the state. So what we're dealing with here are Ukrainians who are now coming to the state. They're provided with 90 days emergency accommodation. They're provided with supports thereafter to find accommodation by the state and provide those supports in. They will receive, once they move out of that emergency accommodation, full social welfare supports. They can, crucially, and this is very different with asylum seekers, they can work from the day they arrive. So they can as well. So they have that temporary protection under the European Union.
Although about 45,000 of the some 80,000 Ukrainians that are here are not in the labour market. 18,000 of those are children. 29,000 the rest are elderly people or women. So they may not have the ability to work like other people have the ability to work.
No, and those Ukrainians are in their accommodation and they're not being given the 90 days. It's only those who are moving here since March. So those Ukrainians who are coming in the last number of months, and I say only 60% of them have even sought accommodation. And many Ukrainians are moving back out of state-provided accommodation. And it was, as I say, Ireland has done a fantastic job of integrating those children into our schools. And I have to praise our school principals and our schools who've done fantastic work there and the local communities who've integrated Ukrainians into their communities. And we're very proud of our work for the Ukrainians. And they are suffering a terrible situation in their own country with the aggression by Vladimir Putin and Russia.
But before I go to Paul Murphy and Mairead Farrell on this, if people exit emergency state accommodation after 90 days and are going into the private rental market, that's further pressure on the private rental market. Now, the recent figures from the IRTB show that 882 tenancies were overholding in quarter four of last year, and in quarter one of this year there were 705 tenancies either in arrears disputes or overholding with their landlords as well, which indicates there's a fair bit of pressure in the private rental sector. The rents are high. Why put more people into that situation?
Look, we're all very aware of the housing crisis in this country, and that's why significant measures are being taken to address that. And we've seen a doubling in housing output over the last number of years. Look, when you have Ukrainians who are coming to Ireland in recent months, and many of them will be secondary movements, you know, they can work. And in terms of the housing situation, yes, they will be going into the private market and in a situation with everybody else in this country. But I think the if you like, open-ended emergency accommodation is not really very sensible or pragmatic from this point.
Right. Can I just ask you for one short answer before I go to our other panelists? Is the aim really, or the hope, that they leave?
No, but I do think we have to. I don't think there's a justification for secondary movements within the European Union. I think if anybody's fleeing war in Ukraine, they deserve support and help. But I think if Ukrainians who were contributing fantastically to this country, those who have come here, but if they have, I think, receiving support in another EU country, and their Ukrainians in those other EU countries are receiving significant support as well, I don't think there's a justification for secondary movements. I think if you get into a situation where EU countries, if you like, are competing with each other, I don't think that's a very positive situation. We need to have a kind of a sensible, balanced approach right across EU on this.
Okay. Mairead Farrell, your party doesn't want this 90-day limit imposed. You're opposed to this.
Look, to be honest, even just listening to James there, like, it just shows every aspect of the of accommodation that this government tries to touch. It just makes an absolute hames of it. We can see that, you know, like the fact that we have over 4,000 children homeless, and it just seems to be normalised at this point by government TDs. But like, the reality is, like, if you look at what that letter states, you know, it says that people have to leave after the 90 days, and then it's good luck to you, sure, we'll see, like, go and compete in the private market. But like, what private market? If you go into any of my clinics, I had a clinic yesterday in Clifton, and the woman who was sitting across from me said she cannot get anywhere to rent because there simply is nowhere to rent. Again, I had a clinic on Monday in Galway City, same thing, and people can't find places to rent. So I just think that what you're doing here is you're putting more people in competition for so little accommodation, private accommodation that's out there. And it really is, to me, the government just washing its hands of any kind of responsibility when it comes to accommodation and hoping that something will work out. But the reality is we have seen that it is not working out. What was it that we saw? An increase of 578% in adult homelessness. Like, people have nowhere to go. And the government should have been dealing with this for the last nearly 2.5 years at this rate, but they have not been able to. And I don't know why the government can't deal with accommodation in its entirety, whether they don't want to, whether they just don't know how to, but they just simply can't do it. And it's for whoever it is, they just simply can't provide accommodation.
So your reason for opposing this 90-day limit is that when the 90-day limit ends, it'll put further pressure on the private rented sector. Is that it?
Well, there's two things. So, yeah, that is it.
We know that. Like,
well, it's that. And then the other thing is, like, yeah, as you'll have seen from the letter, and for those people who haven't seen the letter, it just says, look, there won't be any homeless services provided. So you're talking about effectively saying, OK, we'll put people on the streets, or we're going to put them out and compete with people who are, you know, already struggling to find a place to rent. Like, the reality is the housing crisis has gotten worse. It is not getting better. And this time last year, Cullum, if you'd have said to me that the housing crisis would be getting worse, I wouldn't have believed you. But if I go into my clinics and I'm talking to people, it is most certainly getting worse. I don't know what private market that James is talking about, that he thinks all these Ukrainians will be able to find a place to live. But if he could tell us all how to do that, because there's so many people, whether it be people from anywhere, and Irish people, whoever it may be, cannot find accommodation. Right.
But you do support the cuts to the social welfare to Ukrainians, bringing them down to the limit of around 38 euro and 29 euro for children, and you do support them being means tested for medical cards, and that's on the basis of bringing them into line with other refugees, is it?
Well, I suppose I've had this conversation, I think, a number of times with yourself on this programme and your other programme. I have always felt that there should be an issue of fairness and equality. And that of refugees fleeing wars, whatever war it may be, should be treated, you know, in the same sense. Now, as we've discussed before on this show, I think it was, you know, there is a review going to happen as to how much it is. Do I think the 38 euro is sufficient in any kind of capacity at this moment in time? No, I don't. But we have said that they have said there will be a review in relation to this. But at the same time, I don't think just, you know, send people out of the accommodation to compete when there's nothing really to compete for, or indeed putting more people into tents, just isn't really an answer, is it?
All right. Paul Murphy, The 90-day limit, first of all, is your party opposed to it?
Absolutely. This is going to, if they follow through with this, this is going to result in not just black and brown men in tents in our city being chased around, private companies making money out of it, reappearing the next day. It's going to result in Ukrainian women and children sleeping in tents around our country. And I don't know if the government has thought through this politically. I think the woman from Ukraine was absolutely right when she said this is about the elections. This is about one of a series of policies of the government looking to appear hard on migration and looking to centre migration as if it's responsible for the housing crisis, the health crisis, any of the other crises that affect ordinary people. But I don't believe that the majority of people in this country want to see Ukrainian women and children who have fled from a war, who have fled from a brutal invasion, to be put onto the streets. And that is what the government is talking about, because exactly as Mairead says, I meet people every day of the week who are working, who have access to HAP and are not able to find any accommodation. And exactly the same will apply to Ukrainians. So this is disgusting, performative cruelty from the government that won't make Irish people's lives any better. It just makes some vulnerable people's lives harder. It's also not necessary in terms of state accommodation. I mean, more Ukrainians are leaving our state accommodation system than enter it every single day. There are, according to newspaper reports, 3,000 empty beds in the system. The government is talking about ending contracts that they have with private suppliers in terms of hotels, hostels, B&Bs, etc. So we have enough beds in the system, not just to allow Ukrainian women and children to be in the system, but also to ensure that nobody, no person from Syria, from Palestine, from wherever else, is on our streets. It is a conscious, disgusting political choice by the government to do that, and let's see if they're going to carry through on it.
All right, James Brown, can you make any guarantee that people won't end up on the streets? Because it's not clear from what's been issued to people from the Department of Integration that there is any backup plan for people who exit hotel accommodation, state-provided hotel accommodation, after 90 days.
Well, the department officials will be providing intensive support to ensure that that doesn't happen and people can't find that private accommodation. But look, I just listened to Mairead Farrell there of Sinn Féin, and I mean, talking about the housing crisis, we're still waiting for their mythical plan to solve the housing crisis. And
you
know, they got their answer in the local elections, because what people are fed up is the constant, I think, sale of misery porn by Sinn Féin on housing, and they're not providing any hope or any solutions. Just in relation to, and people want solutions, so they do. In relation to that.
Where's the solution? You will be required to vacate the centre by then. Seeing as you're in the business of providing solutions, what's the solution then? You're saying that people will be assisted in finding private accommodation, but private accommodation is in scarce supply.
And that's what happens in every local county council where somebody has to vacate their house.
Well, with respect, people in a local county council have access to homeless services. The Ukrainians have been told there will be no access to homeless services. So they're not by, in any means in the same situation.
No, but those officials are experiencing and helping people to be able to find that accommodation, and that intensive support will be provided. So will be. But again, look, it's not that long ago. It's only a short while ago Sinn Féin were demanding that asylum seekers will be given the same enhanced supports of Ukrainians, and the U-turn on that as well. So I mean, it's difficult to listen to Sinn Féin coming out with any policies at this stage, because I think you have a better chance of nailing Jerry to a wall and getting Sinn Féin's policies.
I don't know what it's like in other places in the country, right, in terms of how it works when you get a notice to quit and you're facing homelessness. But I can only speak for Galway, because that's where I have my experience. The reality of the situation is, I mean, I don't know what James is talking about, that everybody that gets a notice to quit somehow magically finds a place to rent, because
that's
not the case. You're saying that the people have experience. They have experience, but there's nowhere to rent. That is the reality. I have people crying. Like, literally, I have to buy boxes of tissues every other week, because every single Monday in my clinic, people cry because they do not know where they're going to go. That is the reality of the housing crisis. I think that people feel that there's never going to be a change in this. And we don't talk about the fact enough that over 4,000 children are facing homelessness. But the thing is, If you go into Galway, if you look at booking or daft.ie, and if you look at Airbnb, for example, you'll find it much easier to find a place in Airbnb than you will on booking.com. It is nearly impossible to find somewhere to rent in Galway. And if you do, it certainly is not within the HAP limits. The problem that this government is constantly doing is that it just simply privatises the issue away and says it'll sort itself out and washes its hands of responsibility. That is the reality, James, and the reality reality is that I will continue to stand up for what I believe is right and what I believe is wrong. And what you are doing in terms of homelessness is wrong.
Do you want to answer that charge that James Brown made about the welfare cuts, the initial commitment to try and, or the initial proposal to try and equalise welfare rates upwards and then the support of it being equalised downwards?
Well, first of all, I think that I've always been quite clear on this, that I don't think it's right that people who are fleeing from different wars get treated differently. We know that the government are going to have a review. When they're going to have that review and when it's actually going to happen is a whole other question. But it's my understanding that there's a review going to happen in terms of how much money people should be able to receive. Do I think 38 euro, as I said earlier, is enough? No, I don't. Sure. I don't think that. Like, I just simply don't think that.
All right, Paul Murphy, in terms of the provision of welfare payments to people who are seeking international protection, be they from Ukraine or anywhere else, do you have a figure in mind? What would be your basic standard and what's your proposal?
Yeah, I think how Ukrainians were treated initially basically is how we should treat people who are seeking asylum. I think it was interesting. I mean, I was opposed to the two-tier system that the government developed because they basically treated Ukrainians properly. They gave them access to social welfare supports. They gave them the right to work. Meanwhile, those coming from Palestine, with an increasing number of people coming from Palestine, are put in direct provision centres, are left on the streets and are given 38.50. I think that is not a good way to treat people who are fleeing horrific situations. So I think the kind of Ukrainian model is actually the model that we should have adopted.
Do you take any cognizance of if Ireland is out of kilter with people elsewhere, that there may be a draw there that would be, I suppose, would involve people coming here more rapidly than the capacity could be built up to accommodate them, so we don't have situations like tents?
Yeah, there's two things I'd say. One is that you would have the impression from listening to media reports that there is an increasing flow of asylum seekers into this country and we are overwhelmed. That is not the case. That is not borne out by the numbers. If you add together Ukrainians and non-Ukrainians, it's coming down year on year. 2022, with close to 100,000. 2023, less than 50,000. And this year, we're going to be under that again. So this flood that people would have the impression because of the canals and so on is simply not happening. The second thing is, I think we need to go back to what we all thought in 2015, which was the common sense. When people saw that boy, Alan Kurdi, washed up on a beach in Turkey, trying to get out of a horrific situation. 3,000 people died last year in the Mediterranean because of Fortress Europe policies. Like, we have a moral and human rights responsibility to people who are fleeing war. We also should, as part of the European Union, not be implementing policies that are driving people out of their country in terms of war, in terms of climate change, in terms of support for various horrific dictatorial regimes. But I think in this country, Ireland is a wealthy country. The reason that we have a housing crisis, we have a health crisis, is not because we don't have the money. It's because we have political choices to enable people to get rich from those crises.
I just want to ask you, James Brown, the Taoiseach was out earlier in the week and he was talking about the issue of migration and asylum. And he said he wanted to push back quite aggressively on this idea that it was primarily an accommodation issue, and proceeded to say it's an issue of efficiency in the system and a lot of other things. But would you concede that a lot of the things that people are seeing, the most visible things, the tents on the streets, the hotels in isolated areas being filled up at short notice, that these are knock-on effects of an accommodation crisis, and that's the primary driver behind a lot of the controversy?
No, I think, yes, I agree. It's the very visual part of it. But I do agree with Paul. We can handle this. We are getting there. I mean, the amount of asylum seekers coming to the country is really only reaching European norms now. So it is. And we have had 130,000 Ukrainians and asylum seekers come in the last 2.5 years. Population of Waterford City and County. And I think the government has actually done a pretty good job, as have local communities, of accommodating those people. So we can handle it. And there is no justification for some of this very disgusting behaviour and the weaponising of it to justify hatred and these kind of comments you see about Ireland is full and Ireland for the Irish and the second plantation and all of this absolute, as I say, disgusting commentary and behaviour. It is a visual part, but we have a housing crisis. We have had one for a long time now. We are getting a handle on it. We've gone from, 19,500
housing bills to 40,000. Pushing back on the idea that there's a major accommodation component to this, if not it being the primary component?
Well, I think, look, the reason for it is we have seen a significant increase in asylum seekers coming into Ireland. The evidence would be that a lot of it is secondary movement coming from other countries that are to where those people are already located. And where I think it's a really sensible position that if you are getting help and support and you are being processed in another EU country, that's okay. Really where you should remain and be processed.
OK, we've got to take a break. We're back. We're going to have a look at the fallout from the recent elections and where the disappointment might go after this.
Saturday with Conor Mungon on RTE Radio 1.